I've been playing outdoors since I was a kid, standing by the front door at around 2 years old, hollering, "Side, side," trying to get my mom to let me go play outside. Now, after 30-plus years working in the outdoor business, I'm dropping insider conversations every week with brand leaders, guides, marketers, CEOs, and others that make the outdoor business a trillion-dollar juggernaut that drives product innovation, revenue, and public policy for everything outdoors. I'm Rick Sayes. Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
In these winter months, consider tripinsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from tripinsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
How's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here, my friend. A review of Sky Princess this week. Now, that ship was launched in 2019. Steve had the pleasure of taking a New Year's Eve cruise. So from 2019 into 2020, it was 14 nights, 7 Eastern, 7 Western. And Steve will be sharing his review with us a little bit later on in the show. But first, we'll jump to cruise news with Sherry Laskin from CruiseMaven.com. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Doug.
So Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings, so the parent company of NCL, it looks like they're getting a little bit closer to requiring vaccines for all the crew members.
Yeah, so they sent out a press notice that they will require all crew members from Norwegian and Region 7 Seas to have their COVID-19 vaccines in order to work on the ships. And the announcement comes on the heels of new cruise cancellations that extend through April. So when and where the crew will be vaccinated wasn't mentioned, only that it was a requirement to work. And, you know, along the same lines over at All-Inclusive Saga Cruises, which is based in the UK and sold only to the 55-year-old and up crowd, they've taken the decision to require that all guests, not just the crew, but the guests, must be fully vaccinated at least 14 days before sailing. And they've had to push their departures up until May 4th, and they'll sail out of Dover, England. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how this goes.
Seems like there's still going to be a long road, though, here, because you're going to have union negotiations with the crew agencies, also the legalities and the vaccine supply by countries.
Absolutely. So, yeah, when and where they're going to be vaccinated really is going to be a major factor in the follow through on this.
Looks like Carnival Cruise Line has delayed a few more dry docks.
Yep. So the latest change arrived earlier this week. So Carnival issued a notice that said Victory will be transformed and become the Radiance. We knew that, but the dry dock won't begin until September. Three other Carnival ships, the Magic, Carnival Paradise, and Carnival Valor, they won't emerge from their refurbishment until November. And at that time, when that finally does happen, Magic is supposed to cruise from Port Canaveral. Carnival Paradise, which is the last of Carnival's Fantasy Class ships, will homeport in Tampa. And then if all goes as planned, Carnival Valor is scheduled to sail from New Orleans.
Also, we didn't mention this because there's so much news over the past 7 days, but last Friday, Carnival Cruise Line said they're canceling all cruises up to April 30th, which means their new scheduled startup date is May 1st, which also includes pushing back the launch of Carnival Mardi Gras until Memorial Day weekend. So, yeah, lots of changes. All right. A ship goes from one cruise line to another.
Yeah, so this is sort of like, you know, dominoes, in, you know, falling down one after the other. So first, Royal Caribbean Group announced it had sold their three-ship Azamara brand to an undisclosed buyer. Then it was revealed that the buyer was Sycamore Partners, which is a private equity firm based out of New York. And shortly after that, Princess Cruises said it had sold Pacific Princess, but they wouldn't reveal the buyer's name at first light. So knowing that Pacific Princess was once an old Renaissance ship and all three Azamara ships were from Renaissance, it was not too difficult to deduce that Pacific Princess was also sold to Sycamore Partners. And interestingly enough, Sycamore Partners also owns, get this, Staples, Belk, Talbot's, Nine West, and now Azamara, which is their first cruise line venture.
This is interesting. Follow me here. Orlando Ashford, he was the president of Holland America. Now he's over at the new Azamara, right?
Correct. Okay. He's not president, but he is in, yeah, he's the higher up than president.
And now Azamara picks up an old Carnival ship. Part of me thinks that they could be setting this up where Carnival Corporation buys Azamara down the road, because Carnival Corporation really did like Orlando Ashford.
Yeah, you know, he just breathed fresh air into Holland America at the time when it needed it most. And he started Music Walk, and he really made it more appealing to the under 60 set. And, you know, Azamara, it's just an awesome little cruise line. It was one of my favorites in the, like, 2010 to 2014. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. So the blows already start for the Alaska 2021 cruise season.
Yeah, this is not great news. So Royal Caribbean has decided not to send Quantum of the Seas to Alaska this summer after all. And instead, Quantum is going to remain in Asia and sail out of Singapore for at least the summer season. Quantum was supposed to cruise Alaska from April 25th until the middle of October. But Royal Caribbean Alaska cruises are still planned for Ovation of the Seas, Serenade, and Radiance of the Seas. And if it does happen, Ovation will cruise round trip from Seattle through September and then go to Australia. Serenade will be in Alaska May through September, round trip from Vancouver and then go to Australia as well. And Radiance of the Seas is scheduled to do a repeat of its yearly cross Gulf cruises that go between Vancouver and Seward. And this would be from May to September as well. So it's looking very bleak for Alaska at this point. But so far, if those three ships can do it, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And Celebrity made a last-minute change for 2021.
They sure did. So there's another shakeup over at Celebrity Cruises. And instead of sending Celebrity Edge to Europe, as was planned, the ship is now going to home port at Port Everglades for the summer. So beginning in July, and according to Celebrity Cruises' website, the Edge will set out on 7-night alternating Eastern and Western Caribbean cruises. And also sailing from Port Canaveral in July is Celebrity Equinox. And that ship will do 6- and 7-night Western Caribbean cruises.
So it's going to be a little less Europe, a little more Caribbean for 2021 at least.
That's what they're hoping to do.
Okay. Listener question here comes from Trish in Vermont. Carnival Cruise Line is offering a free Wi-Fi deal included in the price of the cruise, but comparing it to other sailing, you could buy the premium Wi-Fi package for the same price. Is this just a psychological game that the cruise lines play with pricing and perks?
Well, hi, Trish, and I think you pretty much figured it out. Norwegian has been offering they have a program called Free at Sea, and this promotion, really, it feels like it's been going on forever. And, you know, quite often you can get a better stateroom price and then add on whatever perks you will use. And for Carnival, I did a little checking. The premium Wi-Fi package shows to be $14.45 a day, which comes to $101.15 for a 7-night cruise. And it does include streaming. So depending on the price tag for your sail date and your stateroom, you might, you know, you could very well be better off buying the two separately, but it does take some research to do that. And I really think that's why some people jump at the chance to take advantage of these promotional offers. They don't have to do the research. They can just accept what they're, you know, what they're getting. And they're very happy to just do it, you know, without having to spend the time to investigate. But yeah, you are right. It's kind of, depending on the sail date and the accommodation, it's a little bit of a psychological game that they play.
Plus, if you really have the time, you could go down a rabbit hole and price this out individually and figure out, hey, this is actually a better deal buying it a la carte.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Been talking with Sherry Laskin from CruiseMaven.com. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Doug.
Top industry stories from around the world and how they'll impact your next vacation every weekday morning on Cruise Radio News.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer, if you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip.
How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Have a question or a comment for the show? Send an email or voice memo to Doug at cruiseradio.net.
At the end of 2019, going into 2020, Steve and his wife took a New Year's Eve cruise on Sky Princess out of Port Everglades. It was a back-to-back seven-nighter, so 14 nights total. He joins us on the show. Hey, Steve.
How are you, Doug?
Good, man. I bet you'd rather be on that cruise right now than up there in cold New Jersey.
I'm dreaming about it again.
Yeah,
I want to go back.
I bet. So this was a kind of a unique sailing because it was seven nights back to back. So 14 nights total. A little sampler, if you will, the Eastern Caribbean and the Western Caribbean. Give us some pre-cruise thoughts. What made you want to do this itinerary and this cruise ship?
Well, we wanted to try the new ship. It was coming out, and we wanted to try New Year's Eve. Me and my wife, we don't really do much for New Year's. So we said, you know what, let's go on the cruise. We had a couple of cruises canceled on us. So we figured, let's go all out and go 14 days and celebrate the new year in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. You make your way down from Jersey down to Florida. Any pre-cruise time down there?
Yeah. So me and my wife, we do not fly. We drive down.
Okay.
Jump in the car. We wake up early in the morning hours, and we make our way down to Fort Lauderdale. But we do a couple stops. We make like a little trip out of it. So we stopped at Fayetteville for one night, spent the evening there in North Carolina. We like to try different breweries, so we stopped at a couple of breweries, had dinner. Then we made it down to Melbourne for the night before. And again, we stopped, we tried local breweries, we have dinner at the brewery. We wake up nice and fresh, and we make that our way down to Fort Lauderdale the next day.
Nice. So you make your way to Port Everglades. How was your embarkation once you got to Sky Princess?
Very easy, man. We parked the car in Park and Go. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
They take us in the shuttle right to the port. And with Princess, they had the medallion. And it was 1, 2, 3. We walked up. The lady with the iPad checked out our pictures, asked a couple questions. We waited a little around, and we went right in right before lunchtime.
I've never actually sailed on a ship that had Ocean Medallion on it. So how easy was the Ocean Medallion process when you compare that against a regular embarkation process?
We put all of the information before, prior to getting onto the ship. We put our photos in, all of the information. And it was like wearing the Disney, what do they call it?
Like a magic band.
Exactly. That's why I kept calling it the whole time. The whole time I kept calling it magic band. And it was very simple. You know, you walk up to the bar, they know who you are. You walk up to your room, your stateroom, and door opens up automatically and locks.
Nice.
Very simple.
This cruise is like probably the third or fourth U.S. cruise when you went on it. So it was fairly new to the U.S. here. What were your first impressions when you walked into the atrium on Sky Princess?
It was very, very beautiful, man. The piazza, it was... They changed the colors, I believe, with the look of Princess. You know, with the beige, they put the new colors in, and it's just so modern, refreshed. You could still smell the new carpet, you know, the paint. You know, it was amazing. It was nice.
That's one thing I really enjoy is that new ship smell. It seems to be, you know, it hangs around for a while until the smoke from the casino eventually permeates it and it kind of goes away. But yeah, nothing like that new ship smell. So what kind of stateroom did you book on this 14-night cruise, and what did you think of it?
We had a premium balcony on this seventh deck. It was small, man. You know, it's a regular balcony room. We're only there to freshen up and sleep, I guess. So it wasn't that bad. The balcony was same size of any normal balcony, and the Princess bed sheets and pillows is what makes it nice. What makes Princess Princess?
Yeah.
You know, the only thing, I guess, downfall is the bathroom. The bathroom situation is a little tight there.
Is it just how everything's kind of situated, like the toilet, the sink, and shower are kind of like in this rectangle or small square?
Exactly. I like squeeze myself into the shower. You know, the one sink is... I went on one cruise on the Caribbean Princess. We had a mini suite. That was nice. But then you miss out on the balcony. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know which way I like it better.
Yeah, I guess it's a trade, white, right? One or the other, I guess, right? For his Ocean Medallion, I know you said it unlocked the door. Did it control anything else inside the stateroom?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, some of the newer ships have, like, I think the newer Royal Caribbean or Celebrity ships, they have, like, kind of their wow band, and you can use your app on the phone to control, like, the lights, the TV, and all this wild stuff, which is really, really cool, I guess. And she just goes to show you how lazy we can be as Americans, too, though, laying in bed. I don't feel like turning the light on. Let's do it from my phone. So it's, yeah, kind of funny there. Let's talk about dining on this 14-night cruise. Of course, you have a lot of specialty restaurants on Sky Princess. Did you hit any of those?
Yeah, we always tend to do the chef's table. As soon as we get onto the ship, we book that as fast as we can. And then we did Alfredo's a couple of nights. The pizza there is really amazing. It's really good. And, of course, we had to hit Crown Grill. Sabatini's, it wasn't up to par for us for some reason this time around. I don't know what it was. And we didn't do the Bistro Sur L'Aime. And we did the Ocean Terrace Sushi a couple of nights.
How was the sushi on board?
Delicious. It was good. The cover charge wasn't that bad. It was very minimum. And we did that a couple of nights. We liked sushi, so we were happy with that. Crown Grill is always amazing. The steaks there, the lamb chops, is exquisite.
Nice. You mentioned Sabatini's was kind of a questionable dining experience, and that's been up a lot lately on the show, or I guess not the past 12 months because of the shutdown, but prior to. Do you attribute that to them tweaking the menu, or what was off for you?
I think that's what it was. They did change the menu a little bit. We have a little high hopes on Italian food coming from the tri-state area, sure. New York, New Jersey. So when, I don't know, it wasn't wowing. Alfredo's was delicious. Alfredo's pizza, we had that a few nights.
How about the main dining room on Sky Princess? How was your experience in there?
We did that, I think, one or two nights maybe. And it wasn't that wowing either, you know. The service was amazing. I believe we had the surf and turf night. You know, we had the lobster and the steak. We rather try the specialty dining, you know.
Sure.
It was more cozy that way.
Yeah. With the chef's table, that is actually done in, isn't that one done in the rear dining room on Sky Princess? Like in that enclosed, like little area?
Yep. Yeah. It was beautiful. The table there, the chandelier, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, that's it looked really beautiful. I haven't actually sailed the ship, but I was on it for the christening ceremony early December, so prior, a couple weeks before you were on it, and I was really amazed by the chef's table experience there, the little nook they have carved out for it. As far as the Lido deck, the buffet area, how was the food there?
Good, man. They have a lot of diverse, you know, cuisines out there. You know, one night could be Indian food, Asian food, Italian food, American cuisine. You know, they have a big selection, especially during breakfast time with all the desserts, pastries. Good stuff like that. Marketplace.
One of the favorites of mine on Sky Princess, or that whole Royal class actually in general, is that little, you have the buffet, but right in the middle of the buffet, you have a little room within there, which is mostly like pastries and desserts and stuff. And like, it goes on forever and ever, it seems. And so many awesome options in there.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Did you dine out by the pool deck at all?
When we get a little appetite, we would tend to have like the salty dog grill, and a little bit of the pizza, but we try to stay away from the pizza because we were eating Alfredo's, you know, so maybe a hamburger here. The French fries is really good at that salty dog.
Is salty dog, is that included in the price of the cruise or is that extra?
That's included.
Okay. Very good.
There was no charge of that or the sliced pizza.
Now, since this was a 14-night cruise, let's talk about entertainment here. How was it as far as entertainment goes? And did it vary on your back-to-back, or was it basically week two was a repeat of week one?
It was a repeat. The thing that we really liked, I liked it, my wife didn't like it much as me, was the rock opera. The rock opera, I thought, was pretty cool. It was the theater work with that was pretty cool. The only thing I feel like they were lacking a little bit was of a theme. The opera side, and they're playing cool music. I was enjoying it. I like the rock music, the 80s rock, classic rock, but the whole, like, there was like no storyline, I guess, to say, but it was pretty entertaining.
Okay, so that's cool. So it's opera blended with classic rock?
Classic rock, 80s rock, a little
nice.
Bit.
Nice.
You know, all the classics, you know, I enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. outside of the theater, how were the public venues like? What do they have, like Jazz on Five and other musical venues around the ship?
Yep, we spent one night there hanging out, getting a couple of cocktails. You know, it was nice. You know, it's not crazy. It's relaxing. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed it.
As far as the casino on board, how was it with the smoke situation?
I didn't really notice it. We went one night we went to gamble a little bit, and my wife would not stand for that, the cigarette smell. Mm-hmm. So we went in there, we hung out. I don't even think we were allowed to smoke in there for some reason.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe just the night that I was there.
Yeah.
I was not there at all.
Yeah, nothing ruins a ship quicker than cigarette smoke, and that's gets the non-smokers up in arms as well. So on this this cruise, you had a lot of sea days because it was 14 nights and you had 8 ports. So how were the sea days as far as crowds and congestion?
We made a decision that we didn't realize that we were going to face when we booked this cruise. It was New Year's Eve cruise, New Year's Day.
Nice.
And a lot of kids were off from school, I guess.
Oh boy, yeah.
And we didn't think of that. we weren't thinking that, because when you think of Princess, you think of adult ship, you know. It was a lot of little kids jumping up in the pool, which tend to get a little nerve-wracking, but we made the best out of it, you know.
Sure, yeah. How was the sailing as far as, like, how were the New Year's Eve activities?
Oh, it was awesome. The deck party we had outside, it was so much fun. Everyone was pretty much on the pool deck. We did a countdown on a big TV screen. Mm-hmm. It was great. We had a good host, Alexandra. Mm-hmm. He's very good at what he does and kept everyone entertained. DJ, the band, was excellent.
I've never taken a New Year's Eve cruise, so I'm curious, like, what time zone did you celebrate it in? Because this was an Eastern and Western Caribbean cruise. Some of the Eastern Caribbean islands are 1 hour ahead of Eastern, and some of the Western Caribbean islands are 1 hour behind Eastern.
I believe we're 1 hour behind when we're in St. Thomas.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, definitely 1 hour behind, I believe.
Gotcha. Very good there. All right. Well, let's talk about the ports of call on this. You did have 8 ports of call because this was a back-to-back. So you did a handful of Eastern Caribbean ports. You went back to Port Everglades for a turnaround, and then you did Western Caribbean. So what we'll do here is give us the port of call, a highlight, and then move to the next one.
Okay. Princess Cays, simple. We tendered in, and we made a beach day out of it. We spent the whole day in the water, sunbathing. And over there, they have the grill open for a little barbecue, basic food, hamburgers, hot dogs, fruits, stuff like that. And they had the bar open with limited drinks. They had a drink package, so we were still drinking under our drink package. It was relaxing then.
Nice.
You know, we spent the whole day pretty much on the sand and in the water. Then we went to St. Thomas, which was New Year's Eve. We did a jet ski tour. We met up for a jet ski tour and we went snorkeling. After that was done, we went back to the port and we found the brewery that we always like to have a couple of drinks, Rock City, which is right on the port. Had a couple of drinks there and we came back on the ship. And then on New Year's Day, we were in St. Martin. We spent the whole day on the boardwalk area. We hung out on the beach. We went to Blue Beach Bar. Have you heard of that, Doug?
I have not, no.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool spot. The person who hosted us, like, took us in for our drinks and for our chairs, he was awesome. I felt like the guy thought he knew me for some reason.
Nice.
And he was like, give me everything I wanted.
Nice.
Everything I needed, he was hooking me up with. And it was a nice relaxing day at the boardwalk. We did a little walking. In the morning hours, it felt like it was going to be a crappy day, but then the sun came out and it was awesome. Mm-hmm. And from there, we went back to Fort Lauderdale and we did the back-to-back. We stood on the ship. We didn't get off. We had to get off for a little while, I guess, to get checked back into the ship. Mm-hmm. That was a little headache, I guess, for some reason. They put us outside and took a while for us to get back onto the ship. I thought we were just going to wake up and go right to the pool area, but we had to hang out outside mm-hmm. for a little while, and we got back in. And then from there, we went to Costa Maya. Costa Maya, we did a bus tour. I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, Chachaboom Ruins. And then from there, we went to have lunch at Seven Color Lagoon.
Nice.
Which was pretty relaxing. We did a little tubing in the Seven Color Lagoon, swam a little bit, and then we got back to the port. next day we stopped at Belize. Belize, we did a private tour of cave tubing, which was pretty cool. We were in the caves. It was pretty dark. And the guy told us there was bats in there. It was a little nerve-wracking, but I guess we were safe.
Right.
And then the next day we went to Roatan. Roatan, we did a private tour. It was an older gentleman that took us on this tour. We first stopped at the Monkey and Sloth Sanctuary, which mm-hmm. was awesome. I got to hold the sloth.
Nice.
To hold the monkey. It was a pretty cool experience. We did a little chocolate tasting and rum tasting, which was excellent, I guess. Yeah. You know, it was delicious. We seen them how they make the chocolate over there, and we found out that they actually sell the chocolate here in New York, I believe somewhere by Central Park.
Oh, okay.
They actually sell this type of chocolate they had at Roatan. And then we went to this beach club, and me and my wife, we felt a little uncomfortable for some reason. I don't know. They were very aggressive in trying to sell this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To the stores and rented jet skis, and you see security holding guns and stuff. It felt a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then we had a little lunch at the beach bar over there, and we found out that there was a brewery called Roatan Brewery, and we convinced our driver to take us to this place, which was actually close to the port.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a kick-ass brewery. We went there, we had a couple of drinks, we met a couple there that came from, I think, Carnival, maybe. They were on Carnival ship.
Okay.
We had a good time, and the guy took us back to the port, and we were safe and sound.
Nice.
and then we went to Cozumel. We did a Jeep tour, a little snorkeling. We had mojitos at Punta Sur, I think I'm pronouncing it. And then we had a tequila tasting at the Sambal Rasta Cozumel. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, so. And that was it. Cozumel was our last stop.
Okay, very good. Yeah, you had a nice little sampling of ports there. Out of the Eastern and Western, which one was your favorite, I guess, region, if you will?
I like St. Martin. Mm-hmm. I like the whole vibe of that beach area and the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that one probably my favorite.
Nice.
The next cruise we're going back to one of our favorite stops, which is Bonaire. Really, really like Bonaire.
Yeah, never been there.
It's a cool, you know, we rent a golf cart. We mm-hmm. drive around the golf cart the whole island by ourselves. Right by the port, there's a gentleman that rents golf carts, and you just drive around the whole town with a map.
Nice.
And you do your own stops, and that's going to be our third time going.
Very cool.
On there.
Because that's like, you have the ABC Islands down there, so Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. And I've been to Aruba and Curacao, but never Bonaire. Is that island kind of a blend of the other two?
Yep. I believe there's the French side and the Dutch side.
Nice. Yeah, definitely on the list. So you make your way back to Port Everglades for disembarkation after 14 nights. How was the process as far as getting off the ship with the Ocean Medallion program?
Very easy. We went to one room and they called us out to embark. You know, it was really simple. It was actually pretty quick, I believe. If I remember correctly, it was pretty quick.
How long would you say it took from, actually, I didn't even ask you this at the front of the interview. When you were boarding the ship, how long did it take from curb to ship?
1 hour.
Okay. And how about disembarking?
Quick. We had a lot of luggage. That was the only problem.
Gotcha.
That was the only problem. That was the only difficulties. Because we had to wait for the shuttle bus to pick us up to take us back to our car and the park and go.
Mm-hmm.
And just carrying all that luggage to the curbside was just the only difficulty part of this for a 14-day cruise.
About how much money did you save using the park and go against just parking at the pier?
That I won't know. I won't know. My wife will know that information.
Right.
I'm assuming it's a good deal than parking at the port.
Yeah, they get you coming and going there.
The car's safe there. It's parked. They have the car ready for you. They bring you right there. Jumping off that shuttle bus and getting onto the car was 2 seconds.
Nice.
They give you a bottle of water when you check out, and it's nice.
Any first-time tips to offer someone sailing Sky Princess?
You got to try the specialty dining, you know, the specialty Crown Grill, man. That restaurant is good. Good stuff there. You want to definitely get to the pool area, because people keep thinking they can reserve spots. So you want to try to get to the pool area as quickly as possible in the morning, especially in sea days. And get to the theaters for the shows as early as possible, too, for good seating. That was one of the things that was a little difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The ship was definitely booked ship.
Looking back, what was the biggest highlight of your cruise?
The ball dropping, New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
The night was awesome.
Awesome.
We purchased a bottle of champagne and just danced all night.
Nice.
And enjoyed the night. You know, it was a fun experience to be in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no one be able to reach you.
Yeah. That's awesome. What are your thoughts on cruising again once cruising does resume?
Well, we have a cruise booked in January 9th on the newer ship, Enchanted Princess.
Mm-hmm.
And we pushed back to one cruise, obviously, because it was canceled. I don't know. I just hope things will be somewhat normal. You know, yeah. I want to be able to go pick up my food in the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, 100%, man. I'm on board with that. All right. Well, in closing here, what are your final thoughts of Sky Princess?
Beautiful, modern, cozy. Mm-hmm. Princess makes the experience very cozy. You know, I never experienced other ships like Royal Caribbean or Norwegian. But Princess makes it very cozy, you know, where everything is at. I feel like all their ships are, we went to the Royal Princess and the Caribbean Princess. And again, everything, you know where everything's going to be. It's like going to your favorite hotel. If you go to Vegas or Atlantic City, you know where everything is. That's how I feel about Princess.
All right, Steve. Well, thank you so much for giving us the review of this 14-night cruise of the 7-night back-to-back aboard Sky Princess. Stay warm up there in New Jersey, my friend. Thank you again.
Thank you, Doug.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got for you, buddy.
Cruise Radio is produced at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Get cruise news, ship reviews, and money-saving tips every Thursday on Cruise Radio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show. If you want to help spread the word, give Cruise Radio a 5-star review. Find Cruise Radio where you listen to your favorite podcast or online at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.